Okay, now, I think it's beginning to record again, and Jim is just saying, this is side two, I think. Jim is just saying that Grandpa and Grandma Dogan, Weston and Eunice, came down to Tonica because they wanted to see a corn picker, right?
He's rather enthused about it. Until then, my father showed him kind of step up some of the mountain here's coming up on it. Up and down the field when they got the second pass, but because in those days it was a drop. It was a knockout. Unless you had hogs turning after them, they could cut it out. And a lot of bunch of hogs that used to be out there. Seems to me that happened many of them in that place too. Stop that.
Well, it seemed to me that they went on with the just well not happy. Denny's on there. I said, Joe.
Was that the time I went down to Missouri? I was 3 years old. To Grandma Marion's.
Well, that might have been.
Because I got in trouble.
And I said, Joe, down to Mexico. And to Manchester.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember that trip to Grandma Marion's, but I don't remember any details about it except when I got in trouble.
I think you got in trouble then.
Little boy next door took me for a walk, and it was dark. And we were walking along the edge of the highway when they picked us up. And oh, they were furious and upset. He was the one that got in trouble. He was probably 4 or 5.
Somebody bought our home place. Didn't care about living, but just wanted to rent it out to somebody. And you know you can't just up and sit a match for that. That's awesome. If you can take a bulldozer and demolish it and burn it, that's what they did with their pretty last building and three or two families.
What?
It's gone. It's right across that face of the earth. That happened about 5 or 6 years ago.
Well, I mean, they wanted to get rid of the building.
They couldn't. You couldn't get any insurance or any recompense for these buildings to build them down.
No, you can do that. You can destroy them.
You can destroy them, but and you could burn them if you had some fire department do it for
that's
practice.
Right. You'd have to go get there and look at the
cold burning fire and burning.
Would you please say that again? Grandpa said...
He started with one horse, one cow, and a hoe.
Here at this farm?
Yeah.
That was his way of saying about it.
He started with nothing.
Right.
He'd been preaching, you know. Lost his hearing and had to change occupation. Got all that.
I've got all that in the new story. That you haven't heard, but you think you have.
He walked out Collie Road one day and ran into Mrs. Collie, this farm down the road.
He ran into the farm, but not Mrs. Collie, because you told me that Mrs. Collie was in town.
And then he walked into Mrs. Collie's house and talked to her about it. And, he decided to sell to the young minister in spite of the fact that he had no money. And Paul Bowell was in the academy, boy academy at the time, and he was sitting in the next room studying. So he's the first one, aside from Mrs. Collin and Ida, that saw Grandpa and boy. He got that turned off after you.
No, I've got that on. I've heard that story before, but it doesn't hurt to have it several different versions. Oh, you came in and said something about a repartee.
Well, I have two stories, and I can't remember which was the best repartee.
Okay, go ahead.
The one was to Louis when he came to me 3 days before the wedding. He wondered whether he and Patty should get married just now. And I was aghast because the plans were all made, and invitations out, and presents in, and so forth. And I said, well, Louis, tell me about what's worrying you. He said, Dogan. He always called me Mr. Dogan for years. Mr. Dogan, after all, I've only got $4,000 saved. And I said, well, I mean, I know who I'm going to live with in my old age. You'd heard that.
Mm-hmm.
But the repartee, the other one, when she told me her trouble on Champs-Élysées, I turned to her and said, pay a little more. Make it then.
Well, here's one you haven't heard. Okay, Dad at Naples, they're getting their vaccinations because they didn't have them, and it took every scrap of money Daddy had.
We had to go with the American Council, and I did, and arranged so that we could get on our ship. And we didn't have enough money left. We had a day to spend, but we couldn't go to the Isle of Capri. It would cost too much money.
Uh-huh.
And all I had was a few lira in my pocket. And Grandma wouldn't come on deck because occasionally she wasn't feeling well. She didn't know then that she was pregnant.
Uh-huh.
I would go up and play a variation of 21 with the Italian boy.
Mm-hmm.
And I made my lira last when we got to New York, all right. But when we got to New York, I was still broke, so I telegraphed home and asked them to send me some money. And so they sent us enough money so that we could
buy your train tickets.
Yeah. And we got one lower berth. And when we got on the train, there was a heavyset man and his heavyset wife that had the upper just above us. And he looked up there and shook his head and seemed disconsolate. And I said, well, my wife and I can use that upper berth all right. Why don't you and your wife get to get in the lower? So this fat couple got in the lower berth and we slept up above them. And then when we got to New York, I was so accustomed after a year, 18 months in France, that everything being closed up at noon. But I didn't telegraph home for money until after 2 o'clock because I thought the telegraph office would be closed. So we just wandered around till 2 o'clock and then and went to the telegraph office and got a ticket for the wife.
Mm-hmm.
And then coming up from on the train from Chicago, when the train stopped with a jerk at South Beloit, and I spilled the water all over Grandma.
Okay.
And about 10 years later, I sent all of those clothes to the cleaner, especially the ones that did.
In case that didn't get on there on account of Joe's lawnmower coming too close, Grandma says 10 years later when she sent Grandpa's suit to the cleaners, Ron's...
All
Ron's clothes to the cleaners were, they discovered a $20, she discovered a $20 bill in his knickers that he had at Naples.
Yeah.
So that you would have had, you would have been set up, that's like $100 now, isn't it, or
$150? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I could go into Paris, go to Chattopierre, and spend a weekend, and go to the opera, and come back on $5.
Good Lord. That's incredible.
Inflation was taking place in France and prices weren't keeping up with inflation.
Uh-huh.
So the American dollar was worth 20 or so francs.
Uh-huh. Well, I'll read you the rest of this one and then we can take off and go down to the farm. Ronald takes a trip down to Northwestern and talks to his former professors. They all agree to let him finish up his work and take the final exams he missed, all but one. He goes in to see his professor of Russian history. The professor listens to his tale and then barks, "Young man, I have never seen you in my life." Ronald loses his 2 credits in Russian history. He decides to take his senior year at Beloit College. His major will be chemistry. That will be of use on the farm. He takes all chemistry courses except for world history from Dickie Richardson. He and mother have a room downtown at Aunt Ida's, across the street from Strong School and a few blocks from the college. Who is it that delivers milk there every day? Grandpa?
Stan.
Lester Stan? Delivers milk there every day. Aunt Lillian, Grandpa's third sister, lives there too. Every morning Aunt Lillian comes down to breakfast. Every morning she says, "I never slept a wink all night." One morning in March, she comes down to breakfast. "I never slept a wink all night," she says to Daddy and Aunt Ida. "Then why aren't you congratulating me?" asks Daddy. "Congratulating? What for?" "Surely you heard the commotion here last night. Vera went to the hospital," says Daddy, "and little Vera Joanne was born at 3 o'clock. Aunt Lillian clamps her jaw shut and, in spite of the good news, is sulky for much of the morning. In June, Daddy graduates with honors from Beloit College, and he and Mother, see, I've got to change names or something at this point. I've moved her back to Janice, but somehow Vera Janice doesn't sound like the right sort of name. He and Mother and Janice move out to the little house on the dairy. Daddy goes into partnership with Grandpa. He takes over the business end of the farm. They get an upright piano so that Mother can play. All this, I'm going to have to check this out with you, Mother. Mother investigates teaching ballet in Beloit in the fall. Did you teach the first year when you were down at Aunt Ida's?
No. I waited a couple of years of that.
Well, you probably started after Joe was...
After Joe was down there. That's down there, my friend.
Oh, did you? Okay.
I didn't try to.
Well, we might get you teaching ballet a little sooner. We'll see.
And you just moved into the little house either, right away. And you still went out and said that people were going to get in the street.
Wasn't Daddy out at the little house when you got there? Well, then you were out there in the fall, Grandma. 6 is when Joanne was 7 months old.
Well, I mean, so, but they gave the little house over before you went. Stan said they're living there, and Grandpa had this extra room for them, but he could make the living room while Grandma had a bathroom. And then upstairs, there was 2 more rooms that were people there. All that was done after he got there.
Well, I knew all that, but I didn't know if that was necessary to the detail to have the...
Well, I don't see it as so necessary to have the time, you know. It didn't go right from the door to the little house. Even if I got it, it was a week ago, a month or so. And then they went to Grandma's dinner.
Yes, it is going.
By the way, it costs a big money, this
Why?
There was probably something to do up there every day, so it wouldn't miss seeing it.
Another time he came up.
And Patty was a butterball. And Grandpa looked at her and looked at me and he said, "You'll have to change her relations." She was getting a little bit too fat, although I was just giving her what I was supposed to, but I cut down on her. And some of the baby food and some of the richness of the milk we found early with the milk of steel.
All the boys carried everything to the kitchen.
Uh-huh. Of everybody, when we were out of here. Yeah, I got my coffee saucer glass. complaint.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't talk to her husband. She ran away.
Would you clear them in any way at the kitchen or just leave them there on the table?
I won't tell you about the first time, but the last one I had was I'm sitting in a little valley at the base of it, and Jesus is over here, and God is over here, and the Holy Ghost is up here. And they're all dressed like the Green Bay Packers on a cold winter day on the bench, you know, or so forth, but and Jesus is a spokesman. So we had a long conversation. And the first one that I recall was he told me all about the other time on his hands and he just messed around with a putty or something, caught in the air. So of course that would take years of your time, but to me it was just a moment of work. And I thought him in the air and I thought everything was in orbit and doing fine and had forgotten it for just this minute. And I come back and I find things in a terrible mess. And, but then he went on to explain some things I didn't understand, the way the magnetic north pole is not the true north pole, and the two strips are off to one side. He says, once every few million years or so, that magnetic pole is pretty good at that moment when everything will right itself. The temperature will drop to absolute zero. And he said, that's why you will find mammoth buried at the North Pole, that area, the green grass and stuff. And he had some other questions. But this last, well, that was years ago, but this last time when he started, and he said, I've come back, and I was so touched at this time. I was in the hospital, pretty ill, that it was months before I could even think about it when I was crying. I also had my sign meter, maybe a little piece of wood, something like that, on it, February 1st, 1968. And he said, at that time, he said, just God is for suffering and pain and death. And that's something I overlooked. There's going to be no more pain and death after 7 o'clock this morning. And I had my radio on at 7 o'clock and I heard a strange story about a bus going over a trip in Colorado and everybody in the bus was demolished, one half the bus. Everybody knows. Last half of the bus was in perfect shape and everybody walked off without a scratch. Well, that made me get busy and I called all my children and got my doctors in and my nurses and the good news. And I wondered if there was anybody admitted to hospital for 7 o'clock and there hadn't been. That reinforced my idea on the whole subject. And Craig Houghton at Nevada, at that time, was so disturbed that he called my doctor and they took my telephone out and I got my doctors in and asked them if they had an avocation that they really enjoyed because I thought their business was going to be shot now. But this last time when he appeared to me, same setting. He said that he'd been watching now for a little while and we were really in a mess. He didn't know how we were going to get out of it. He said he had two or three choices. Three choices. He could destroy the whole thing, wipe everything. Or he could restore the world and situate the high order mud, the element of life there. Let's develop what happened. Or he could let it go for a while and just see what mankind did. And then quiet for a moment, and then said, "Fuck it, Bruce."
All right. Well, I know that Craig interned at Salt Lake Hospital on my
fence put in by U.S. Steel when we had Farm Progress days. What about concrete?
Steel, cedar, treated posts set in concrete.
Treated posts set in concrete.
Each post pierced and a wire through it, it seems.
Each post pierced, wire through them. Cords at the end. Got any tomatoes? Dad just says he thought, "I thought I'd show you the kingdoms of the world." Is that what you said? This is where I skied every day. This is the King's Highway, the road down to the pond. Seems like you better get the slaves out there and clear it.
Boy, did you notice all of those holes that hang along the fence?
Yes.
They're 2 or 3 years old, and they're absolutely spoiled. And in this country, an act you have cows, stuff eaten up right away by a bad way of making hay and too much rain.
Those round bales?
Yeah.
I've been seeing round bales with plastic over them.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at it. You need to get up off the ground, you know.
Okay, we're down here at the pond.
Here is a earthen dam. There's a pond back up there.
We started the first terracing.
When did he die? In 1949. 49. And we had it all planned. And the tractors and equipment came in on his birthday, the 10th day of May, after his death. And as I came down here, I saw a tractor pushed up against this tree down here. I was about to push it down. I remember galloping across the field as fast as I could go and stop him. I said, "I could stand some shade for cows." Said they could cut this again.
Oh, sure, this is tall.
Would it be a little bit late to cut it? Would it be apt to kill with a winter with that much snow on the ground to protect it?
1st of October, I've always figured.
Oh, you can.
Well, they've got a good deal of alfalfa here.
Oh, there's a lot of alfalfa here.
Why is it hard to cure in the fall, Dad?
Oh, you don't have many very dry days. Humidity is high.
But cooler nights.
Cooler nights.
Shorter days.
Shorter days and heavy dews. So you're fortunate.
Grandpa told me once when a field of alfalfa was ready to cut. Remember that? It was when it was 1/4 in bloom?
Yes, that's about right. I mean, that was a thought in those days. I think it's still sound. I don't know what this is.
Looks like a waterway.
Yeah, I know there's a waterway here.
There's no alfalfa growing in it.
No.
Well, I was going to show you that bat. Cheers. I'm trying to learn something from it.
...12 acres of the land for the road. 25 acres orphaned on the other side, so Dad and Blodgett swapped.
I sold that.
Or sold.
Prior to the time that the state wanted that land in here for a rest stop.
Blodgett lucked out on the rest stop, paying it to the state. Hauling ice from the river?
Well, here, my hip, you stay in. You stay in. I'm sorry, but
There used to be a little fence around the balcony.
One of those few small windows up there, I don't think it's going to be the
other one. My grandpa would be peering out of one of those two small windows. Dad, Jim tells me that when he would be down here in the morning, he'd look up and Grandpa would be looking out of one of those two little windows up there. And
the way the weather finding his days works, any window.
And Jim's room was up here where the balcony is, but there used to be a little fence around that balcony. So what I believe that in your younger days, Jim, you used to be able to what?
Jump up and get that thing and clear around the barn like this.
You were able to go clear around the barn, hand over hand on the that's the manure trolley track.
Right.
I haven't read you the manure trolley story yet. Now this is where you used to push the manure trolley up that guy that was developing his muscles. From the silo.
You make it through this one, catch your breath, you make it up that fast.
Did you have something that you put to let it cross the gutter?
We didn't put it across the gutter. You know, off the
Yeah?
It's a wonder there weren't more accidents to get killed. Because when this thing was full, on a real cold day, come out here and get the blue shoes on, and all of some of these things, I turned the top. And all I had to do was lift your hand and put slip and get killed. A long way,
is it? Sure is a long way.
That's the way nowadays I got unloaded. I've never looked there.
Want to take a look, Bernie?
So
we're down on the side barn, and Jim is saying there was a box stall here at the end by the door going out, and the babies were over across here, which I knew. Now, is that familiar to you right there?
Oh, yes. Here it is.
This is the silage trolley. And didn't it have galvanized inside? Has that gone? I thought you had a bigger one once too. That doesn't seem big enough to me.
I think you had a bigger one.
And did it have bigger wheels on it?
I guess that's all covered out.
Oh, Jim just showed the place where the cats jumped.
How are you?
One on one side, one on the other. Now, up high between every window, there's a sort of a rectangular box that opens up, and then on the outside, there's a little square box.
Down below.
Okay, and so the air would come in down below and come up and into the barn?
Yeah. And then it would either go out there, or else if we close that,
close the top part.
Settle down, we close the top part, and we go in here.
Uh-huh.
So...
See, Grandpa worked out that whole ventilation system, and that goes all the way up to the top of the barn.
One morning, very early, I was called, and I said the silo was cracked. And here there's a crack that runs up about 20 feet. Finally, they're dripping out of it. Is that corn or hayside yet?
Well, sweet corn.
Sweet corn from Libby's. There's the crack. You want to see it? Okay, well, Jim, tell me the names of them.
Well, I remember over there by the fishman silo. This I-9 and K-2 is real nice. Look how long they were right about here. K-5. There's some real, real good ones.
The alphabet. 1941 and 42, we called them 41-1, 41-2, 41-3. That was too long and complicated, so 2 years later we started the alphabet again. And we ran through it again all the way to Z. We started over and got as far as C or D.
Barn can be a historic site if what? We pay enough?
If we want to put the money into our own.
Oh, you mean that's the word from the Historical Society?
Oh. And I can't imagine
happening to you.
I can't imagine the Celts not wanting to.
No, I can't even. I mean, you see,
it's sort of a late date on being thinking about it, I think.
From the very top of that, Jim.
Yeah.
I fell down this chute, feet first.
Did you go down there?
There wasn't any time.
Well, you had a little underneath you, because that's what you were jumping on to come down.
I was just out of grade school, and my father said that I could be assistant herdsman.
And I wanted to
really
not really. Then we went back and had some practice, and I was going to really do my stuff. And so I was the first guy out, and I threw a little loose hay on top of that chute because it didn't go down. And then I put another little fork pull on it, a little boy fork pull. It didn't go down, and so I jumped on it. And it came down pretty fast. I broke both heels. I still have extensions on my heels that allow me to push on a ramp.
You know, Jackie, when you see those pages about those boys riding this manure carrier?
Riding the manure carrier, yeah.
When I read that thing at home, I see it just as plain to start here, there, out, boom out there. I mean, just picture the whole thing.